Okay, we're going to open our Bibles to two places tonight. Scott inspired me with a topic from Sunday school class lesson. I think the scripture you quoted was 1 Peter 4:15, that even meddlers, which were lumped together with murderers and something else. Thieves, yeah. So murderers, thieves, and meddlers were lumped together. So tonight I want to talk about the power of our words. The power of our words. Did I say Psalm 19? Okay, Psalm 19 and Psalm 141, please. The power of our words. Psalm 19 and Psalm 141. If someone has found Psalm 19, would you mind reading verse 14, the last verse of this psalm? Yes, sir. You're deferring to your lovely wife? Your wife is saying you. You're saying her. Wow, what a verse, huh? Would you agree with me that if we all practice this, that we would be sure-footed on the path of holiness? That if we practice this very diligently in our lives, that if we always watch what the meditations of our heart were and the words of our mouth, and to make sure that they were acceptable in His sight? How many of y'all know that God does not rubber stamp just everything that comes through our minds or comes out of our mouth? Amen. Right? And so it's a beautiful prayer, and I think one that we should all take to heart and seek to practice on a daily basis. Now, who has Psalm 141, verse 3, please? Psalm 141, verse 3. Miss Normie, please.
Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch.
Wow, that's a good prayer too, isn't it? Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep a watch over the door of my lips. Who can say that? Who can pray that? I can. Who would agree with me that those of us who have walked with Jesus long enough begin to realize in our, well into our journey, that there is power to the words of our mouth, right? There is power. Who would agree with me that the words of our mouth need to be dealt with like a loaded gun? Right? I think, who has ever been hurt by words, especially when you were younger? You know, we always said sticks and stones may break my bones, but and words will never hurt me. But who understood that words hurt? And they can create deep wounds in somebody's soul, that they deal with that wound for years. You know, I remember when I was a teenager, well, I was preteen, teen pubescent, prepubescent, and my older half-sister would call me all these horrible things. And I remember, even well into my mid-30s, thinking, I'm not an attractive person, I'm not this and I'm not that, because my sister always called me A, B, C. Think about that. And finally, I had to forgive her of that. I didn't tell her I forgave her, but I had to, in my heart, I had to release her of that. And I did away with those lies that were spoken over my life. How many of y'all know, church family, that we've got to be careful what we say to others, because sometimes our words can stick, right? You know, I have a friend, a couple friend of mine in Effingham. They used to attend the church that I was pastor of. And the wife once said, she was telling her husband and myself, that she was out at a department store shopping, and she overheard a mother like ripping into her young child. And she ran, my friend's wife, you know, she was also my friend, went and ran interference and said, "Ma'am, can I help you with something? You seem very stressed." And she said, "Ma'am, you really shouldn't be saying those words to your to your son here. He is very young and impressionable. And she broke down in tears. She said she was overstressed. But the point is, I think that my friend, that gal, did the right thing in saying, "Miss, don't be saying those kind of words to him, because how many of y'all know they might stick?" Right? We can, listen, we can build some futures with our words, or we can destroy people's futures with our words. I think that's how powerful words are. Do you think I'm overstating it in saying that? That we can build somebody, or we can tear them down and their futures be involved in it? Amen? We have to be very careful. The Lord, as we begin to mature, the Lord says, "Listen, I put a lot of premium on your words. Be careful what comes out of your heart." Okay, go with me to James chapter 3, please. James chapter 3. Would like to read verse 2 of James 3. Yes, sir, please.
"We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check."
Notice, if anybody does not stumble, he is a perfect, or the Greek language, a mature person. A mature person. Only mature Christians will understand the thrust of this message. Would you agree with me? That words are powerful, and we have to be very, very careful how we use those words with others. Even in kidding situations. Right? I don't mind kidding with others, but I got to be careful not to demean, belittle, disparage, even in a joking manner. Am I right, church family? It's gotten very quiet here. Let's get specific. How do you spell snide? Is it with a Y or an I? I? Do those count? Snide comments? What's a snide comment?
There might be some truth to it, that it's meant to just really
indignant. Right. It, very well said. There might be some truth to it, but it's said with a barb at the end, isn't it? To maybe gash them a little bit, to hurt them a little bit. Right? Snide comments. Snippy remarks. Snippy. Right? Why are you laughing, Jim? Is it stepping on your toes? Snippy remarks. Do those count under the power of words? Yes. What about accusations? Accusations. You're this, you're that, you're not this, you're not that. Do those hurt? They hurt, don't they? We have to understand the power of our words. Now, we all know that that is true in speaking about others, two ways, speaking about others or speaking to others. How many of y'all know, who has ever said something about you that got back around you that was not flattering to you? How many of y'all wanted to wring the person's neck that talked about you behind your back? I wanted to, right? Who has ever, conversely, ever said, "You know what, I'm not going to stab you in the back, but I'm going to come to you in love, and I want to tell you, I see this area," and they say it in a very loving, gentle, but truthful way. Who appreciated that manner instead of hearing it through the grapevine that somebody was talking about you? Right? Don't you have a lot more respect for that person? Because they're telling you face to face. Right? Okay, so a mature person understands the power of words. Okay? Whether they are a strong punch. Who has ever had somebody say something to you that hit you like a punch in the gut? I mean, just, oh gosh. They were fighting words. We use that term. Them are fighting words. Or maybe they were much more subtle and they used it like a little paper cut. I mean, y'all know paper cuts hurt. They're more subtle, but they still hurt. In fact, hours after the cut is done, healed up. Okay, so let's talk about how do we say things about ourselves? I believe that the power of words, that there is a self-fulfilling prophecy aspect to our words. Who believes that? This is why you'll never hear me saying, you know, it's kind of cute sounding among the culture today, and it seems to be popular that when someone's really laughing hard, they say, "I'm dying." I will never say that. Right? Or that just about killed me. We don't mean it. Am I getting too legalistic, church family? I don't think so. I don't talk that way. You'll never hear me say it just kills me to do this. I'll try to be very selective with my words. It hurts me, it pains me to do this, but you won't hear me say it kills me or I'm dying or I'm dead or whatever. Because there is power in our words, a self-fulfilling aspect of our words. Who believes that? Right? Gosh, I think there would be a little more enthusiasm involved in this. Everybody's like, is he talking about me? Is he talking about, I feel like Jesus at the Last Supper, you know, is it me? Is it me? Someone's going to betray me. Is it me? Is it I? Yeah. Turn with me to, where do we want to go? Okay, bear with me, please. Go with me to Matthew 12. Okay, so let's write down what we've looked at already. We need to pray a guard over our mouth. True? Number two, mature believers understand the power of words. True? Watch what I like to call glib or off the cuff comments. Yes? Okay, we'll get to number four here soon. Matthew chapter 12, who would like to read verses 36 through 37?
And I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned.
Notice. Every idle, I like the New International Version that reads, every careless word that people shall speak, they will have to give an account of it before the Lord. Wow. What should a verse like this do to our respect for words? What's that, honey?
curb a lot of our speech.
It'll curb a lot of our speech, right? I've got to say this. Last week after the service, one of our newer attenders came up to Miss Sheila and said, I want a copy of next Sunday's message, unedited. Am I right, Bessie? They're like, they want the Jerry Springer aspect to these messages. Okay, so we will give an account of every careless word that we say. Who wants to stand before the Lord Jesus and him, like, if he looked at me, you know, I repented, but if he was ever looked at me, you know, what did you mean by that comment about your son-in-law? What did you mean? I would melt into a puddle of tears. I wouldn't have a leg to stand on, would I, in his presence? Because that was an off-the-cuff, glib comment that did not serve any edifying purpose. Right? Okay? Now, can we go deeper? Because Jesus... I mean, I know you guys are truth seekers, so I don't really have to ask these questions, but Jesus gets into the nitty-gritty. Okay, he's talking about blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Let's go to verse 33 of Matthew 12, please. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Okay? If you're taking notes, write this down. That if we continually have a problem with our mouth and our words, how many of y'all know, according to Jesus, it's not a mouth problem, it's a heart problem. Right? The mouth is just a symptom. Yoo-hoo. Right? Only Dr. Jesus can deal with that heart. People say, I need to clean up my language. No, you need to clean up your heart. Right? Okay. How many of y'all know that? Well, let me finish these. We'll give account for our words. Five. Mouth problem is really what? A heart problem. Okay. Let's talk about profanity. Can we do that? Profanity, you know, I work out at a gym. Sometimes guys are guys and they want to use words that are profane. They use the S word. They use the D word. They don't use the Lord's name in vain, but, you know, guys can have some measure of barn talk, right? But they don't say it, listen carefully, they don't say it with negative emotion. So even though I might not talk that way to them, even though I might not use their words to them, even though they're only using it, it doesn't bother me because those words mean nothing to me, right? Because there's no negative emotion attached to those words. Now, when you find someone who is loading their words, their profane words, with negative emotion, that's when you start getting into problems. Right? What, Miss Normie?
I don't know. What do you mean they're not negative words?
No, they're using profanity, but they're not using them in a negative context. Like sometimes I hear at the gym, well, hell, that doesn't bother me. It's not said about anybody. It's not said, I don't like to use the word hell. Mama Jens is like, right, that's good. I don't like to use those words. Yes, sir.
It's like when Dad said when he was a drill instructor.
Right.
He could tell anybody at that time, you are a blank, blank, whatever.
Right.
The difference between them and now is that now the drill instructors cannot say that. They can just say generally.
Right.
But they cannot pick somebody out and says, you are a blank, 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 blank.
Right.
It is personal otherwise.
Right.
As opposed to general.
Right. Exactly. Well, good illustration. You might be surprised that the Bible uses some profanity. You've read it, but you didn't know it. Remember that Philippians 3 passage where Paul says, I count all things as rubbish compared to the glories, surpassing glories of knowing Christ? That word rubbish, the best way to translate it in our English language is to use the SH word. Right? And the Bible uses graphic language. Your righteousness, Isaiah 64, verse 6, I think I want to say that. Your righteousness is as filthy rags. What kind of rags was he referring to? Was the prophet referring to? Menstrual rags, right? So can we put it in street talk today? You know, your good deeds are as used up tampons. Right? Is that kind of disgusting? Yeah, I grew up with three girls, and sometimes when I would open the trash, I'd be like, oh, gosh. Anyway, sorry. You don't have to edit that out, bestie. You are bestie. Okay, so, and then Jesus brought up a bad word. Jesus brought up a cuss word in his day when he used the word raka. That is Aramaic. Listen, in today's language, I remember this because I was reading a book that was not needed for any of my classes. I was reading this book devotionally on the Sermon on the Mount, and the author of the book was stating that that word raka meant is equivalent to an SOB today. So when Jesus said, do not call your brother raka, or else you will be in danger of hell fire, he was using the SOB cuss word. We don't know that, but when you do a little digging, it's the same. Miss Norma, you're looking at me weird. It's the same difference. Okay, so I use that point to say the Bible does bring up profanity. What's that?
He said don't do it.
Yeah, he said don't do it. But he used it. He brought it up. Yeah, but he said don't do it. Right, exactly. Right, exactly. Okay? Yes, ma'am. Anybody? Okay. All right. So it's when we attach negative emotion. You are such a blankety blank. That's when you're really out of place. Right? What, did I say something wrong?
Just don't talk that way. It makes it easy.
Right.
Just don't use any of the words and then you aren't worried about it.
Right.
Right.
Right. I think there's some truth in the statement that profanity is the crutch of the uninformed. Don't you think? Yes, sir.
Sometimes it's just lazy, too.
It's lazy.
Okay, so going back with lazy, how about the modifications of the actual word?
That's okay.
It is okay.
Depends on how much you modify them.
Well, it depends, because you and I have conversations about what is acceptable swear words and what is, you know, and what is not. So she was brought up one way, and I'm saying no, that crosses the line. It depends.
Right.
Like this darn, is that acceptable? And you go into this, you know, legalistic stuff.
Right. It can get legalistic. I think isn't that kind of an individual matter? I will say this, okay? I will confess that there have been few times where I used a cuss word to get my point across. And it was not at church. It was not from the pulpit. It was one time, like, with my family when we were in Mason City. And I was working very, very hard. I would go in early in the morning to the office and do ministry all day long and come home. And nobody seemed to be doing anything. The house was dirty. No laundry was done. And I said, I bust my ha-has. I didn't use that word, but you know what word I said. And I come home to a dirty home, I said. And after that, you know, the wife and my daughters begin to kind of, okay, we get the signal. we need to do something. You know, because I, at that point, I was like, what is this? Am I the only one that's required to do some work around here? But anyway, I'm telling on myself again. But there have been times where I, when I feel like I'm not getting across in a more personal relationship, that I might use something like that. But I try not to lean, or listen carefully, I do not default to cuss words. I think that kind of language should be beneath us. Right? There are certain ways to get a point across with using proper language without having to use the crass words. So far, so good, everybody? Okay, so words, if we have a problem with our words or a problem with our mouth, what is truly the problem? It's our heart. It's a heart problem, right? Okay, so much is said about words. Go with me to 1 Peter, please. Words can get us in a world of trouble. First Peter 3. Who would like to read verses 9 through 10, please?
Nine and ten.
9 and 10, please.
Not returning evil, for reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. Knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it.
Thank you. So if I want to love my life, if I want to have a life I love, what's the first thing I'm going to work on? The tongue, right? It says, if I want to see good days, how many of y'all know that your tongue can get you in trouble with other people? How many of y'all know that your tongue can create all kinds of drama with other people? Right? Yes, sir. Yes. I remember one time I was in high school. This is before I was saved, okay? So let's put that disclaimer out there. Before I was saved, and I was telling a buddy of mine about this chick that I thought she was a loose gal. Well, I had said that to him, and then I turned away. Next thing I know, there's a fist coming into my cheek, and I turn around. And he said, "That's my girlfriend, you idiot." He said, "Don't ever say that about her anymore." Well, hello. Had I watched my tongue then, that would not have happened. Now, I would like to think that we're all above places where fists are thrown, but how many of y'all know that there are emotional fists thrown? Not physical, but people can get huffy over words that were started over somebody's casual comment. Right? Okay. Let's talk about put downs. Can we talk about put downs? Can somebody define a put down?
Demeaning somebody else to make yourself look bigger.
That's good. I'll use your definition, sir. Demeaning somebody else to make yourself look bigger. Can we bring it into the marriage arena? How many of y'all know that if you start going down that path, there is no end to that? How many of us know that so much in life We're all adults here. So much in life, you have to go against your natural instincts and not with your natural instincts. Right?
Can I give an illustration?
Please. Please.
This has to do with her first husband. Maybe you can tell it better. When he said, "My mother made better pies than you," she never made him another pie.
Oh, there you go. Those words. There you go.
But he was trying to put her down, saying his mother.
Yes.
And things like this, it's like that didn't go away.
That's right.
Yep.
Right.
Now, myself, I would never do that. No.
I know you wouldn't, brother.
I learned from him.
That's good. That's right. Let somebody else make that dumb mistake. That's right. So. Right.
That's good.
That's right. Natural instinct tells us, speak all your mind. But what does God tell us about that? What kind of person is the one that the book of Proverbs says speaks all their mind? The fool. Only the fool will say everything that's on their mind. How many of us know, church family, that we have to go against the instincts and go with what is principally correct? In other words, live by principle and not live by instincts. I remember when I was at ORU, my fiance and I at the time, the girl's mom, we were taking a class on marriage. It was sex, marriage, and communication. That was my favorite class. We were of course virgins, but shouldn't even have to say that. But anyway, that's the truth. And they were talking about that once you are married, men, you have to go against the instinct to just pounce on your wife. Did I say something wrong? We're adults, right? Don't tell me you're blushing. Yeah, no, that's where I'm. It's that you just can't. How many of y'all know that women are crock pots and men are microwave ovens in that department? Women need to be plugged in and hours later, then they start simmering. Us men, we just like, we're ready to go, baby. Yes. Anyway. So my point there, believe it or not, it's about words. You cannot go with the instinct. You have to go against instinct. Instinct, our natural instincts are sinful in nature. Right? If I always say what comes to my mind, then I'm a fool. I have no sense of restraint. And how many of y'all know that James talks about bridling the tongue? Put a bridle on the tongue. Put a restraint on the tongue. That means I can't always tell people what I think of them or what crosses my mind. I have to deliberately pick my words. And I how many of y'all know that you can communicate a bad message with some decent language? Right? I think that is important to take note of. All right, it's 7 o'clock. How many of y'all were blessed or had fun? As days of our lives, I told you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your word, Lord. Such revelation that speaks to me, that speaks to all of us, Lord. Help me guard the door of my mouth and the doors of my lips, Lord. Keep a watch over them. Father, help me with the meditations of my heart, with the words of my mouth. May they always be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, Lord. Father, understanding that one day we, all of us, myself included, will give an account for all the careless words we have spoken. Father, help us. Have grace and mercy upon us. Help us to do better. In Jesus' name, amen.